Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the second chapter. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been a long time since the blue laws. Probably half of the congregation doesn't even know what I mean by when I say that. As a young child, very young child, I remember nothing beside churches were open on Sunday. You didn't go to breakfast or brunch or anything like that after church, because they weren't open. You didn't pop into the grocery store for some milk, because it wasn't open either. And calling them the blue laws might actually be a stretch. Some states had laws restricting commercial activity, but others didn't. And even those that did, the restrictions were really limited to you just couldn't sell alcohol or groceries. What we knew as blue laws were more of a social compact. And maybe the best way to demonstrate that is the fact that many of these laws in various states are actually still on the books, for all that matters. In 1961, There was actually a series of cases that were brought to the Supreme Court over these laws. And that court, the Warren Court, upheld the laws. Yet, by the time I was 8, that social compact was gone. The grocery store in Clinton, Iowa, started opening Sunday at noon. And by the time I was confirmed, Sunday was no different than any other day for commerce. Regardless of those laws and the court rulings, just a couple decades earlier, we all had collectively decided it wasn't that important. It's the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And it's up there for those top three on the first table. So we might think it would be something rather important. But that is always called the question of just what is the Sabbath, along with the question of what does remembering look like, and what does it mean to keep something holy? The first answer that typically gets floated out is simply, it's Saturday. The silly blue law writers couldn't get it right. And there was this entire sect, the Seventh-day Adventists, who've had their share of publicity lately. The hero of Mel Gibson's movie, Hacksaw Ridge, and Medal of Honor recipient Desmond Doss was an Adventist, along with surgeon and current HUD Secretary Ben Carson. And his denomination simply says, we've got it all wrong. The Sabbath is Saturday. And we should all go back to that. Whatever keeping it holy means, it should be attached to Saturday. And they were actually the losers of one of those old Supreme Court cases. This is all something that comes out of the Genesis 1 creation account. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Within Hebrew, the word for seventh and the verb for rest and the proper noun Sabbath are all roughly the same word. It's only sorted out by context. But the proper noun, Sabbath, is never used in the Old Testament, not really, it's not translated that way, until the Exodus. When the manna starts, which is prior to Sinai, the Lord declares, not really a seventh day, not a rest, but he calls it a Sabbath. And if we remember the drill for manna, the Israelites could only collect enough for one day. If they collected more than that, it would spoil. So they'd have to go out every morning and they collected for that day. But on the sixth day, they were to collect enough for two. They were not to go out the seventh day. It was a Sabbath to the Lord. And miraculously, the double collection did not spoil that day. A couple of chapters later, they arrive at Sinai, and the commandment itself is given. Deuteronomy, our Old Testament text, is the representation of that law that Moses gives to them before they enter the Promised Land. When the manna, that miraculous daily bread, would end. And here, Moses connects that Sabbath to a remembrance of their slavery. The slave works whenever the master demands it. But the Lord had brought you out of slavery, gave you the manna, and commanded a Sabbath day. What I want us to get out of all of these threads is that the Sabbath to the Jews might have been on Saturday, but its importance was not because of that day, but because of the activity or the non-activity. God rested from his labors. It was a remembrance of the ceasing of the work of slavery. Rest was not derivative of Sabbath, but Sabbath was derivative of rest. What made the Sabbath holy, what set it apart, was the rest. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath. On it you shall not do any work. Those blue laws or that social compact of a vanished America agreed. The point of the Sabbath was to cease work. But that is what the Pharisees are confronting Jesus with. Jesus had his disciples were going, walking along through the grain fields. And that walking, if it exceeded a certain amount, was work in and of itself. But they were doing something more direct. They plucked some of the grain as they were walking for food. And that was definitely work. So they were called out. Why are you breaking the Sabbath? And with the story, Jesus asserts two things about what is and what is not the Sabbath, and what it means to keep it holy. David, anointed but not yet king, is fleeing from the rampaging Saul. It's immediately after his tragic parting from Jonathan, Saul's son, who is unable to quell his father's wrath. So David is running fast, and he's hungry, and he's walking on the Sabbath. And he stops at the priest's place, which was then at a place called Nob. Remember that this is before the temple. And he asks the priest for 5 loaves of bread. The priest at first denies David because the only bread he had left was the consecrated bread which had been placed on the altar. After some give and take, the priest, constructing some type of religious fig leaf, gives David the bread that he asked for. David, that anointed one, was doing work on the Sabbath, walking and picking grain, as it were. And beyond that grain was picking, he was set apart for God. How or why was David allowed to do that? And Jesus asserts from that story that the Son of Man, the anointed one, is Lord even of the Sabbath. And second, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So taking him in that order, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. If the anointed one wishes to do work on the Sabbath, he can do it. He rested from the work of his creation, but during the Exodus, he brought them out with signs and wonders. Israel would get to rest from their slavery, but it was due to the work of God. God was at work again for his people. He would do this work within his rest, of course. Jesus would lay in the tomb on the Sabbath day. He would rest. But his rest was also his work for us. By Jesus' death, we overcame death. By his death, we defeated death. He descended into hell. He did that work like David running from the murderous Saul. But he was still the anointed. And he was still the king of an everlasting throne. The Sabbath can be God's rest. The Sabbath can be God's work. Its highest expression is that day where it was both his work and his rest. But the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Whatever this one does, it's always done for his people. Whenever the Christ works on the Sabbath, it keeps it holy. Which brings us back to the second part. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. By the Exodus and those signs and wonders, by God's provision of that manna, by David's eating of that bread that was set aside for God, by Christ's provision in the tomb, the Sabbath has never depended upon our work. The Sabbath was always about what God has done for us. He's freed us from our slavery to all kinds of hard-hearted pharaohs, including our own hard hearts. He fed us with the bread divine, not just the bread that comes from plucked grains, but his daily bread, that which comes from the mouth of God. And finally, God defeated our last great enemy, death. None of those things, defeating sin in our hard hearts, defeating Satan and his corruptions of the Word of God, or defeating death, were our work on the Sabbath. We were not made to do these things. It's not our words, it's not our worship, it's not our deaths, it's not anything that we do that makes the Sabbath holy. We were not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is God's gift to us. His work, given to us by grace. His victories applied to us by faith. His glory given to us through the indwelling of the Spirit. The Sabbath and all of these gifts were made for man. Like manna in the desert, it's everything that God has done for us, given to us freely and in abundance. Luther asks his question of the third commandment, what does this mean? And he answers, we should fear and love God such that we don't despise preaching in the word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. What is the Sabbath? What is remembering and keeping it holy? It's not Saturday. It isn't any particular day. It isn't what we do and not do, although that rest is a sign for us. The Sabbath is simply any time we receive gladly the promises of Christ. His work has brought us rest. We keep the Sabbath holy, not by our actions, but by gladly hearing what God has done for us. And we can enter this Sabbath rest. We can keep it holy anytime we remember and follow. We can enter his rest in word and sacrament. We can be Mary sitting at his feet, choosing what is better. We can also learn to enter his rest in service to our neighbor. We can be Marthas if we put down our worries and remember whose work it is that we get to take part in. The Sabbath was made for man. It was made for us to know that God has eternally taken care of all the important things without our work. We can have his rest, or we can have our toil. One of them was made for you, and one is a load we can't carry. Amen.